Now, what will the fear of the Lord do? The fear of the Lord will bring about a preservation on my pilgrim journey home to heaven. Now, let us remember that, dear saint of God, that though we are saved by grace, and though we are in assembly fellowship, we have got to learn that we are still on the wilderness journey. And there are dangers and pitfalls on the road. Are not we reminded by Peter that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? But oh, just to see a company of saints that fear the Lord. You see, this is an individual experience. If I were to go back to the book of Nehemiah, I would learn about Hananiah. He feared the Lord. If I remember right there, that is what is stated about that dear man. Or really that he was a faithful man. But there will be those men who feared the Lord. Now what about us today? As we make our way home to heaven, are we carrying with us a fear of the Lord that will preserve me from going to places that I would like to go to? You see, there are all kinds of places today for saints to travel to. And travel has become so easy. And everything is so easy today, it's just a matter of getting out and away. But oh, dear brethren and sisters, let me ask you today, can you really take the Lord with you to that place that you're going to? And then another thing, it will preserve us in what I say, a fear of the Lord. It will preserve me in my path as to where I go. It will preserve me with regard to what I say. It will also preserve me as to what I do. Mind you, if we had got the fear of the Lord about us, we wouldn't be so critical, possibly, of some of our dear brothers and sisters. When I take a look at self, and you know I do stop at times, and I take a look at self, and immediately I take a look at self, my mind goes to Isaiah the prophet. And I think of that dear saint of God when he cried, woe is me, for I am undone. I think of Paul the apostle, that dear servant of the Lord, when he cried, in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Dear younger brethren and sisters, I know that my older brethren have heard this over the years that are past, and they will suffer with me for a little while. Could I encourage you to understand that there's a cruel devil on our track, and he's out to rob us of the joy of salvation. That's the first thing he'll seek to do. And he'll try to hinder fellowship with the great God of heaven. And not only that, but he'll try to blight the testimony in some one way or other. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. A book of remembrance was written, but something more they did. They thought upon his name. Many of you kept continually thinking about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It would fill our souls with joy. And it would fill our souls not only with joy, but with thanksgiving. And it would be marked us by a fear of the Lord. That's why we don't be like the world around us, you see. The fear of the Lord preserves us. Now I must read that. I want to come now to Paul's letter to the Colossians. Now I know that any one of these truths much more could be said, but I would like to leave five or six simple points in the heart of some dear brother or sister that will live with you after that I have left the land of Australia. And there will be a help to you and an encouragement to you as we make our way through life. Now Paul is writing to the saints of Colossae. I hope that we all do know that, so when I mention saints, that we are mentioning one of the names that is given in our Bible to describe all that are saved. You will read about saints in Old Testament days, and you will read about the saints in New Testament days, and there are still saints in the world, and if I had been dealing with assembly fellowship, it is saints that are gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now what am I going to learn from these saints of Colossae? You know what Paul is able to do? Paul is able to give thanks to God for the company of Colossae, that they are a faithful brethren and sisters. faithful. Oh, says someone, what does that really mean? It simply means to be really relied upon and to be depended upon. And I want us to remember tonight, dear brethren and sisters, that that is something that marks every child of God as they try to get, as they make their way through a cruel, godless world. They try to endeavor to live as faithful to the Word of God as possible. Faithful before to God. Faithful to the assembly. Faithful to the gospel. And faithful to our fellow countrymen and women around us on every hand. That brings upon us great responsibilities. That's back to the fear, and will link up very closely with the fear of the Lord. A people that are faithful to God. Now you know as well as I do that that is recorded of quite a number in our Bible. Faithful to the God of heaven. I wonder, are we faithful to God this evening? Well, they're not only faithful to God, but faithful to the assembly. Now this is a very sore point. That will mean that if I'm faithful to the as little assembly, that on every gathering, if at all free, or possible, I will be there with the saints for the breaking of bread, for the gospel meeting, for the prayer meeting, the Bible reading, I'll be there. The ministry of the word. Could I say this evening that in my last few years of secular employment with a good deal of responsibility upon me, I was in a rather happy position that when it came to certain nights that there had got to be sales meetings and so on, that I could determine the night that meeting was to be held on. And certain nights it cannot be held on. That's the Bible reading. That's the prayer meeting. And I have got to go to those meetings. Those are far more important than anything that I'm going to be attending to in secular employment. Now that maybe was a privilege that I have that maybe others haven't. But I always endeavored in the particular area where my lot was cast that I had those meetings and those talks and all that kind of business life was on a night that was not on the meeting, the night of the prayer meeting and the Bible. I hope we remember that we have already talked about being in fellowship. That is not just simply to break bread on the Lord's Day morning. But it is to partake of all the joys and all the sorrows that are associated with assemblies of the Lord's dear people. Now, faithful to God. That's only what's expected of any child of God, that they would be faithful to God. Faithful to the assembly. Faithful to the Word of God. What about this now? I learned certain truths from this book. And am I faithful to them? Or do I turn a deaf ear? And I say, oh no, no. That's going to cost me too much to be faithful to the Word of God. To be faithful to the assembly is going to cost me too much. To be faithful to the gospel is going to cost me too much. Well, I'm going to try and get a little point over here that has burdened me now for a couple of years at least. I want to make an expression that was made in a conference maybe 35 years ago at home by a very sincere servant of the Lord, now in the glory. For those from the Irish country, the late Mr. Edmund Allen said, Mr. Allen, to a number of young men, it is a costly thing to live for God. And it is a costly thing to live for God. But it is more costly not to live for God. Now remember that. I have lived long enough to prove that those words are 100% true. To live for God is going to cost me the world. To live for God is going to mean me that certain times I'm going to have to say no. But not to live for God. It's going to prove more costly. And we have lived long enough in the world to see it happen. 25, 20 to 25 years ago, a very nice young brother, saved by the grace of God, I haven't a doubt about it, was an excellent young brother on the platform to open a gospel meeting to tell how God had saved him. God blessed the young man. But the young man got his eyes set on making money. And he left the island on which our Lord has cast Ireland. And he set his sails to go out into Saudi Arabia. Number one, no assembly there. Number two, you cannot take your Bible by law into that country. Number three, no Bible to read. Number four, work, work, work. Make money, make money, make money. And no doubt made money. Years passed by. I have said to live for God is costly. Not to live for God is more costly. Return back to his homeland. Find employment. Settle down. Now out of assembly fellowship. Lost interest in the gospel. And the young man that could have cheered the hearts of the Lord's dear people in telling how God had saved him and preach a little word is now totally away from God. Very good. What else? You know that it was my sad lot to get a phone, maybe three phone calls about it. You were very friendly with so-and-so, yes. Do you know that he's admitted into hospital? No, I hadn't heard. We would like you to go and visit him and try and talk to him and find out where he stands in light of eternity. I'm not preaching about something that happened 10 years ago, the month of August and the year that has passed. I arrive at the hospital. The first question I'm asked when I asked for the patient, are you a close relative? No, I'm not. I'm a minister of the gospel. I have been asked to call to see this dear man. Oh, well, if that's the case, we'll arrange for you to get in. I go into a ward to find a dear man now, 47 years of age. One leg taken off below the knee. No longer able to work in Saudi Arabia. No longer able to make money. Now lying on the broad of his back in a hospital ward, one leg gone. What said he with tears rolling down his face? Tom, I have something more serious to tell you. There's a possibility the other has got to go as well. I visited that hospital quite a number of times. He had been one of the last men I saw before leaving to come to Australia. But I took another preaching brother with me on one occasion. And we walked in and we walked out after having visited him. And I said, mentioning the man by name, to live for God is costly. But not to live for God is more costly. Not only one leg gone, but half of the foot gone and the other one. To live for God, dear brethren and sisters, is costly. I trust we endeavor to do so in the fear of the Lord. I left that young man and said, yes, Tom, I'm saved. I haven't a doubt about it. But I got away from God and I have got away from the assembly and my life is wrecked and my testimony is wrecked. Will you pray for me? If I had time to tell all the story, the brethren still are very happy at the young man's sake. But the cost, That's only one example. I come further down this chapter. What do I learn now? And I will finish in time. I learn about the people who are not only faithful, but the people that Paul is praying for. And what is the prayer of this dear servant of the Lord now? That you might walk worthy of all pleasing, but furthermore that you might be found fruitful or being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful. Oh yes, fruitful. You know, saints of God are expected to be fruitful. That's why they're left upon the scene of time. They're expected to produce fruit in their life. Now what about how are we getting on with the fruit bearing tonight? Well, to be fruitful, first of all, there must be life. You will all agree with that. You go to a dead tree, a dead apple tree or orange tree, there'll not be very much fruit. But go to the saint of God that has got life, and there will be desires begotten to be fruitful to God. What about our fruit bearing, dear brethren and sisters? You see, this is the little point that's maybe getting me a little bit agitated in the land of New Zealand and in this country. That is it sadly possible that so many saints have such a poor interest? Now, I'm not finding fault with the assemblies. God forbid. I thank God for all that there is of God. But the interest in the gospel. Poor sinners trampling down to hell. Other brethren prayed for us. Other brethren preached for us. Other brethren labored for us to see us brought in and saved. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize as sailed through raging seas? And you know, I often stop and I think about those dear servants of God, David Livingstone, and I think of a Charles Hudson Taylor, and I think of all those dear men that sacrificed to bring the gospel to poor sinners. Wonder what I'm doing. Would I speak to my next door neighbor? Would I be prepared to try and put myself out of the way to bring a sinner to hear the gospel? And so on. That's all I'm going to say about that fruit bearing. Bearing fruit for God the little while we are down here below. I trust it will exercise all our hearts. Something more. That's not at all. I want us to think of the people that are going to be fashioned one day, like unto our glorious Lord. Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And who's not only going to come for us, but he's going to fashion us like unto himself. Oh, dear saint of God, are you aware of all the blessings that he has brought you into? Once a sinner in our sins going down to hell, another day that is coming when we're going to be fashioned like unto himself. What does that mean? It will link up with 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I trust, dear brethren and sisters, that we keep it in mind that the days of trial and trouble and sorrow are going to end. The Lord is coming back again, and he's going to fashion us like unto himself, that we might be with him in glory for all the ages. My last little thought, more could be said in these. That's not at all. We come to Jude and the closing verses of Jude. And what do we learn there? We're going to be presented faultless before. Doth not a spot nor a flaw of any kind. What a change it's going to be. I trust, dear brethren and sisters, that it will give us all a little encouragement to live for God, to put God first in our lives, to serve him better than we have been doing over the past, and to praise him for that which is going to be ours in a coming day when the Lord himself comes back. Just to think that I'm going to be fashioned like unto my glorious Lord, And then to think that I'm going to be presented faultless. May the Lord bless His Word. May He encourage His dear saints this evening. And may we all live in light of our Lord's soon return. And in light of the judgment seat of Christ, when every one of us shall give account of himself to God. May the Lord bless His Word and bless His people. Shall we pray?